Well, Dr. Muir has asked me to come along as a student, and I presume from that he wants me to say something of how I came to be a student. And it is already evident to you that there is a fair path of life before my joining the Irish Baptist College in 2001. Well, the call of God has been put very well, I believe, by John Newton. And John Newton, who was a man who himself had a particularly colourful background, actually, but he was a leader of men. He was a sea captain who came in later life to the ministry. And John Newton said there were three elements to the call of God, and those are gift, grace, and providence. Gift, grace, and providence. And really, in terms of our service for the Lord, those three elements, those three things, should be present in each of our lives. Because it is often said, I'm not sure that as widely believed as it should be, but it is often said that the service of the Lord is not confined to pulpit ministry. That there are many, many more ways to serve the Lord than to do so by a ministry of preaching and teaching in what is called and commonly understood as full-time ministry. But indeed, the further you become acquainted with the concept of ministry, you learn that there is really no such thing as part-time ministry. Not for anybody. And I venture to suggest, not even for those who are employed in churches as preachers on a part-time basis. There is no such thing as part-time ministry. Because ministry, the service of the Lord, is a relationship. It is not just an activity. It is a relationship, not just an activity. That is a lesson that I have not learned from a book. It is certainly contained in this book. But I was a bit dull about coming to a real heart understanding of that fact. And can I just, for about 10 minutes, explain to you what I mean by that? Gift, grace, and providence. Because at one time, can I preface my remarks by asking you to think of the Lord's eminent servants in the Scripture. Look at the apostles, look at the disciples. How many of those apostles got everything right first time? How many got everything right first time? The answer, of course, is none. But you see, nevertheless, whilst men and women are prone to failure, and they have to learn as they go on right the way through their life, the Lord uses fallible people. That is absolutely necessary even in the Lord's economy, because apart from our Lord Jesus Christ himself, there aren't any other type of people. There are only fallible people. And it is by God's grace that we don't fail all of the time. I spent 28 years, very nearly, in the Royal Ulster Constabulary. 28 years. And I know there are some with whom I serve in this congregation this morning. And I have to say now that in entering the Irish Baptist College, I did not enter it a day too early or a day too late. I have had a conviction through my years, through my life, that the Lord had gifted me for a ministry in a service. And I, of course, had the sort of conceptions, the ideas that people have, that that means that you start off and you do your, that's what you do for your whole life. But you see, it doesn't necessarily work out that way. And that's not our plans are not necessarily God's plans. So in trying to work out what I thought I needed, to the equipment that I needed for this life of service, I went to the Irish Baptist College, not in 2001, but in 1984. And I decided that I needed to know a lot of things. And in order to know these things, I had to go to college, and I had to find a way of getting to college. So I had to go part-time. I had three young children at a home. I was working in the police at the time in Strand. I was an inspector in Strandtown at that time. And I was running a very, very busy section in a very, very busy police station in East Belfast. And we were doing quite well. I was quite well regarded for doing so. But I felt, you know, there's something else, and I need to be striving after that. Well, I wasn't very far through that course when, through sheer exhaustion, I hit the buffers. And I got very tired. No amount of short rest and breaks would recover the tiredness that was within me. And I had to stop my course at the Irish Baptist College. Notwithstanding, I was doing very well and the results were quite encouraging. But I was overextended. And I was overextended to the extent that I even had to take a break off work. So it took some weeks for me to recover my strength again to go back to work. And that, as you will imagine, for somebody who had been quite successful in the service, I mean, I say not by way, I mean, it's a matter of observation, and some of you will know, I was a sergeant when I was 22, I was an inspector when I was 27, and I'd moved on pretty well in the service, so I was not used to hitting the buffers. But you see, I had a lesson to learn. And it's that simple lesson that we all know intellectually from our mind and from the Bible, that God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And when we seek to strive even for the good of doing his will, we are not guaranteed success. Because you see, the Lord's will is defined by the Lord, and the Lord decides when the time is right and what the sphere of service should be. And I've found, looking back over those years, that I had a lot of things indeed to learn, but those things were not to be learned from the study, from college study, and indeed from book learning. I had to learn what it was to be led by the Spirit of God. Not alone by the worthy ideas of serving God and witnessing for him and all the things that we are taught to do. But I had to learn to do those things in his strength rather than in my strength and in my commitment. And you know, even there, as one serves or served on, the Lord prospered further. There are a number, and as I look at the television, when I look at the news and I see the people walking in, I see sometimes this array of chief officers sitting in police board meetings and so on, and I can say at least three of those chief officers, I trained them as inspectors. So there was something more that I had to do. That was service for the Lord. That was putting the influence of a Christian open to God's word in the path of those who would be leaders in our community. And I was, in fact, myself groomed for such a course of action and became myself qualified to be a chief officer in the police service. And just when that situation was potentially coming to fruition, just as I was in a position to appear before the police authorities of the United Kingdom with a view to being appointed as a chief officer, my path changed sideways. And I realized that that wasn't for me. The providence had come in to the situation. And that having been groomed for that step, I was not to take that particular step in the police service. And to the surprise of the highest people in the highest authorities, my last conversation with the chief constable was to decline his offer of promotion and to tell him that I really wasn't interested, in the nicest possible way, of course, that there was another course of life and a place in the Irish Baptist College. And there I have been since 2001. And basically there, answering three questions. Three specific questions. The providence was now here. The gift was being developed, and that is for others to determine. The gift is always for others to determine. And grace also has to be agreed and confirmed by others. But in the course of study, and I'm involved in the 3-year program both at Queen's University and for the college diploma, I have found that there are really three questions you've got to answer when it comes to developing a preaching ministry. The first question is, can I do this? And from the first, I entered a college on the 10th of September 2001, and in a situation of some uncertainty, I might say, I was asked by Dr. Muir to share his platform the following Sunday morning and preach in the Sunday morning service at the Castlereagh Church. So that brings the first question, can I do this thing? Can I do this thing? Can I preach acceptably? After a very, very short time, you learn there's another question. Because going around and preaching in the church once in a while is a very different thing from a continuous ministry. So really in the second year of college, when we do a student assistantship, the second question comes very strongly before our mind, can I do this week by week? Because that is a very different thing. There are people who can speak and can address very acceptably on an occasional basis, but the question is, can I do this week by week? That was the second question, and I worked through for some months with Pastor David Luke in the Gilnahirk Church in my assistantship, and of course continued my studies. And there is a third question then. Is there some place that I should be doing this week by week? I haven't got an answer to that question. And quite often people ask me, what are your plans? Can I tell you, it's the most liberating thing that I do not know the answer to that question. I am never able to answer the question of people at church doors in the way that they might hope in asking. I don't know. I feel a bit like Spurgeon, who was asked the question, "Mr. Spurgeon, if you learned that you were to be burned at the stake at 1 o'clock tomorrow," and I hope it's not just as drastic as that, but if you learned that you were to be burned at the stake at 1 o'clock tomorrow, have you grace to bear it? And Spurgeon answered by saying, "No, I cannot say that if I were to learn now that I was to burn at the stake for my faith tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I have grace to bear it. But by 1 o'clock, I would have grace to bear it tomorrow." And that's where I stand, and where many other members of college stand at this moment. And can I ask for your prayers for all those students, particularly for those who soon, as would I, leave the college and move on to that next sphere of service, whatever it may be. Before coming into college, I received, I believe, a confirmation, an affirmation, in the words which I'll just read. They're well-known words from the book of 1 Corinthians. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There are no further guarantees. That word of the Lord must be sufficient, or it's not a guidance problem we have, it's a faith problem.